Mouthing Off is a theater, arts, and culture podcast from Bad Mouth Theater Company in St. Paul, Minnesota. I'm Amanda Forstrom.
I'm Kevin Couchman.
And I'm Mari Sittner. Mouthing Off features compelling interviews and discussions with artists and creators from around the Twin Cities and beyond.
Tune in for something different online where you get your podcasts at badmouthtc.com and on the air in St. Paul through Frogtown Radio 94.1 FM.
And if you've got something going on around the Twin Cities you'd like to talk about, we want to hear from you. Email us at badmouthtc@gmail.com.
Mouthing Off is sponsored by Minnesota Playlist, the digital destination for live performing arts. Producers can find talent to work with, directors can cast productions with audition ads, teachers can find students with a classified, and audiences can find the perfect show to attend on the state's largest calendar of theater and dance shows. Find out more at minnesotaplaylist.com.
We hope you enjoy the show.
We're back with another episode of Mouthing Off, the theater arts and culture podcast for the Twin Cities and beyond, even into Roseville. I'm Kevin Couchman. I have Amanda Forstrom with me. Amanda, how are you?
I'm doing fantastic, and I don't want to give too much away, but I am feeling jazzy and ready to talk music.
Okay. All right. Well, we're busting out of our little theater ghetto. We're getting into the big band territory. Oh, and here comes our third guest. Hurrah! We're all here. Mari Sittner in New York City. How are you?
I'm good. I spent the whole day staring directly into the eclipse. So I'm happy that we got some music, some podcasting, something I don't have to look at. Just a joy for the ears because I'm going to be blind soon.
Oh, right. Very good. Yeah. And we've lowered the color on our monitors and sort of the brightness. And now we're just trying to fit into a nice, cool, swinging, cozy mood. And I'm going to let our guests introduce themselves and what they're all about. Can we start with you, Dan?
Yeah, I'm Dan Peterson. I co-founded the North Shore Big Band with Dean, and Dean will introduce himself in a couple of minutes. So I play second alto, because our artistic director is a accomplished musician, and we'll talk a little bit about that. And so, I play between two. The first tenor player, Jake, is a wonderful player. So I play second alto, and also do a little bit of the sound equipment, but I handle the arrangements with our hosts, do that and co-manage with Dean.
All right. And I'm Dean Cummings. I play, like Dan said, I helped him get this band started off the ground, and I play lead trombone, mostly because, not because I'm necessarily the best player, but I show up more often than the other guys. and if you're going to have the one guy be there the most, you might as well play lead, right?
Hi, everyone.
And there's Gary.
Yay, Gary.
Can you hear me okay?
We can hear you loud and clear, Gary. Welcome to Mouthing Off.
Hi.
Do you care to introduce yourself? We're making the rounds here so everybody can get to know everybody.
Hi, I'm Gary.
And just to warn Gary, we're recording right now. So be on your best behavior.
Yeah, yes, I saw that indeed. Warning.
Yeah, this goes out over the radio, so we have to use our radio dialect for the podcast. Well, and so Amanda, you met this group. Where did you meet them? How did this connection happen?
So it's really crazy. I had the tremendous pleasure of seeing you guys play at St. Mark's Church in St. Paul. And I had randomly been invited to this swing dancing and to listen to you guys by a coworker of mine. Shout out to Teresa Wald. She's absolutely fantastic. And she invited me out, and the first time I said, hey, I can't, I don't think I can make it. But then I ended up being able to. And so I rushed over, and it was just amazing. We had such a fun night watching you guys play. And, I tried to swing dance. I'll put that out there. But I learned a lot that there's a lot of people who are really good swing dancers. And I'm probably not one of them. But it was just such a great time. And everybody loved it. And I would feel like I was born in the wrong decade, because I just really enjoyed, you guys played tremendously, and it was a great evening. So
let me just jump in here real quick and say, let's just get to the dates right away. So the website is northstarbigband.com, and y'all are doing things all the time. It looks like you have something on April 13th, April 20th. Yes. And then some more stuff in the fall. So
yeah,
tell us,
we have a wedding. We have a wedding. We do some private events, but then we kick off again in the fall. Mm-hmm. We take the summers off. Just it's just too hard to get everyone to show up during the summer. So
it's Minnesota. That is a cliche about Minnesota. We do the same thing at our theater. We go dark because you can't get anybody out. Not the talent, not the, and not the audience either. Yep. Well, let's get to know. Yeah, go ahead.
There's a lot of bands that play in the summer too, and they like to play outside, and then it gets weather dependent. And I think there's a lot of bands who only play in the summer, and they'll tap some of our talent sometimes. And frankly, a lot of them play for free. So you can get out and see a lot of free music out in the summer, which we encourage you to do. Get out and see those bands. They're out there for sure. We lose a number of our players going to play with those other bands too. So we said, you know what? We're just not going to do it. ready for the indoor gigs.
Yeah. Well, I got to ask sort of some of the obvious questions, right? How long has the band been in existence? How do you operate? It seems like, because we do a little theater company, and getting five actors together to do something, it's a bear. So we're talking 19 musicians. Let's get into it. How does it even happen?
Yeah, the logistics is really the key. I think Dan and Gary will tell you too. So many of our band members say maybe we aren't the most professional band out there as far as the top quality, high quality professional musicians, but we are the most organized and business-like band you're going to run into, just because we're Gary. So you guys can't see the chat because we're in the this is audio only, Gary. The chat doesn't show up on the podcast.
Oh, good, Gary. That's good, Gary. We're old and boring. That's what Gary. Yeah. That's our
Gary. Gary's really going for the undersell.
Gary is trolling his own bandmates in the chat. Gosh, you can't see this, but dude, this is incredible radio.
But you get 19 people together. That happens a lot. But yeah, being a part of it, the logistics was we used to try to take a poll and figure out when are people available for rehearsal and that. And we said, you know what, let's just take a poll and find out if everybody's got a night they're generally available. And we kind of built our personnel around the general plan is we've got a gig coming. So like this Friday, we've got a gig.
Saturday.
We're going to rehearse Tuesday night, tomorrow night. Generally, we like to rehearse the first two Tuesdays before each gig. And we got everybody, all 19 people on board, and said that they were they're good for that. Yeah, every once in a while, somebody's got a conflict, but it works. And then
and the gig is on Saturday, April
3rd. Saturday.
Yeah, okay, right. No.
What? When is
perfect.
It?
Well, perfect, exactly.
Am I going to show up?
Dean, go back just a little bit. You know, like it started a bunch of years ago doing some fundraiser stuff. And then,
post-COVID. All the way back. Some of us were at Holy Family Church in St. Louis Park. And for their fall festival every year, they'd have a little sort of it's almost like a garage band where they'd have a couple of the, people from the church would play some rock music under the tent, drink some beers, and it was fun. We had there was some real nascent talent in it that was incredible. The Claudia Capello was just an incredible vocalist that I've heard again and again from people who said she was never professionally trained as a vocalist, and she's one of the best singers out there on the planet. And a couple of us said, he plays trumpet, I play trombone. We could find a sax player. We could have some horn rock songs in there. Let's do that. We did that for a couple of years. And then we all being in the same parish ended up, there was a new school starting up and we were going to send our kids. We all sent our kids there and they had a gala every year and they wanted to have a swing dance. And we said, You know, well, they were, I think they had one year they had hired, the first year they had hired a professional organization.
They hired the Wolverines.
Wolverines,
for like,
yeah. And so
like,
it was a lot
of money. I don't know, 20, 10 grand, 15 grand, whatever, a big number.
And we said, you know, maybe we aren't quite as good as them, but for a lot less money, we can give you about 90% of their show. They said, let's do it. And so we recruited a bunch of people into the band and played our first swing dance at that gala. And that, if I should go get my, that's 13 years ago, I
think. At least, yep.
At
the marketplace, the market square.
Yeah, International Market Square.
International Market Square is the first gig.
Yep. And so we've kind of come from that. And then in various little iterations in the band, we've had, it gets kind of sad. The longer you play together, people pass away. I think we lost Claudia last year, which just heartbreaking. She was only in her mid-50s.
Mid-50s.
Caught early onset Alzheimer's and just heartbreaking. She was, her voice was just unbelievable. And the really cute part was that she would sing with her husband. Her husband covered the male vocals. So all the all those love songs had the extra dimension. It was just fantastic. So so losing her was just brutal. And you know, we had a guy who would occasionally sit in on trombone who just got hit by a truck a couple years ago.
Gone.
It's like, so you know, it's crazy things happen. When you get,
well, right, and it, in a group as big as that, it, life is gonna come
inevitably.
Yeah, so inevitably.
That's something I think Dan and I have tried to do too. Is we're not here. We're not. This isn't a business for us. We're doing it to basically to have fun.
And to build on that, and I think I'll put it in more eloquent than Dean because I have it written down in front of me, so I can. Because our mission statement is to support fundraising and social events for educational, faith-based organizations that seek to build community and those that care for the needs of others. So we found this niche about giving back. So the roots that of what Dean said about the Holy Family, the parish festival. So we found this place that we can build community through swing dancing, through providing a place of entertainment and fun. We got this niche and the banter that you see us, and we'll give Gary a little razzing in a little bit too. But I mean, we try not to treat each other like other bands treat each other. We try to care for each other. We try to respectfully give and receive feedback on your playing instead of being jerks to each other, which a lot of bands can be. So we're trying to set a tone that's different. And I think the people we play for see that. And I think, you know, Amanda, what you saw, you probably saw some of that in our performance, right? I mean,
absolutely.
We like to be together.
I can testify to that. It was just, you know, such a fun room to be in, and there was a different vocalist, and you guys were all enjoying your time and watching you enjoy yourselves. Also, lets the, you know, people who are there, whether to swing dance or if they're shy and they don't know anybody, it's just really so joyful and heartwarming, and it's just a joyful and heartwarming place to be and event. And it's rare to find those places and those things and to build that community, like you said. And it's, you see, just,
whereas I run Badmouth Theater Company like the guy in Whiplash. I'm very I'm a tyrant, very well known. Gary, we haven't heard much from you. What's your experience with the group? How long have you been a part of it?
Well, I believe I started playing regularly with the group in 2019 and then going into 2020. And then we took some time off, like everybody did.
The
right?
COVID year, so.
Yeah. And Dan and Dean asked me if I'd be interested in providing artistic direction for the band, as far as repertoire and running some rehearsals and whatnot. And so that's my role, is to, I blow the lead alto chair and saxophone. And I run rehearsals and do some emceeing and directing from the stage and write some of our charts. And
you write tunes?
I write arrangements and tunes.
Oh,
yes.
Arrangements. Okay. Oh, that's right. Well,
he's underselling himself right now, by the way. He's underselling himself.
I write my own charts and then I arrange tunes also.
Cool. I was just, you're predicting my, yeah, go ahead.
Well, I'm just going to say, you know, some of our stuff is regular stock stuff that you could find anywhere. And then over the years, we've been adding more and more to our book that's unique to our band. Because when I started performing this role, my whole idea for the band was that we would play our charts. Just as an example, we play All of Me. There's one standard arrangement that's popular among big bands all over the country of All of Me. It's by a guy named Lenny Niehaus. He's the guy that wrote the arrangement. And I played one gig where I was actually singing the vocal on that chart and fronting the big band. And we did not rehearse the chart because every single person in the band had already played that chart multiple times in the course of their involvement with big bands. And we have a number of our charts right now that are in the book that are like that. But what we're doing is we're building our own catalog. So when someone comes to see North Star Big Band, they're hearing North Star Big Band and they're hearing North Star Big Band's charts, as opposed to, you know, going over here and hearing a band play the Lenny Niehaus version of All of Me, and then going across town or even down to Des Moines or something like that and hearing the same Lenny Niehaus version of All of Me. And on top of that, I wanted us to be a repertoire band. And what I mean by that is that we would have a collection of charts that we would rotate in and out of our sets so that we would get tighter and tighter and tighter and tighter on them. And so that everyone that was coming into the band would usually be on the same stage, because once we get things to a certain level, as far as our book, our book being the collection of charts that we play, we actually don't have to rehearse as much. We still have to rehearse, but it makes everything on stage smoother. It makes things smoother for the subs, for the people that come in to cover parts in the band when our regular players can't make it. And so that's what I've been trying to do over the past 4 years that I've been involved with the group. So I write charts specifically for our singers. I write charts that specifically will showcase some of our instrumentalists, because that's what big bands did in the era of big bands, is that the charts were specific to the singer, whether that's Anita O'Day and Stan Kenton, or whether that's Sarah Vaughan, she sang with Count Basie for a while, or Ella or Joe Williams sang with Count Basie a lot. And there were charts that were specific to those folks. And there would be charts that were specific to certain instrumentalists of certain bands, like Harry Carney on Barry Sachs in Duke Ellington's band, or Clark Terry in Count Basie's band for a while. And so that's what I wanted for North Star. And so we try to develop as unique a feel on stage as we can. And we're trying to develop a unique a book as we can. And when I've brought in subs who have played in a lot of other bands, they come in and they play with our band and they see the level of organization that we have that Dan and Dean provide, and they see the light show and they see the sound. And, you know, we have a pretty girl running sound, and then we've got a pretty girl on stage. So it kind of bookends.
That's Gary's
things.
Wife on the
it's
sound.
It's Gary's wife runs our sound. So that's
okay. Gary's, okay, Gary's wife I runs see. The sound.
All right. Okay. Yeah.
So, I want Dean to tell
pretty
a story.
Pretty girls never help, though. I mean,
yeah, it doesn't hurt. Dean, I'm remembering the moment where we had to make a decision about who was running the artistic direction for the band. It was just coming out of COVID. And it was a hard, hard decision. And we said, Gary's our guy. I mean, and Gary's underselling. He's got a master's from Kansas City Music Conservatory. He's music, saxophone performance, composition. But he's a really good guy on top of it. And you know, we want good players. We're never going to be the best players. I mean, we're not pros. I mean, some of us are. There's a handful that, but I don't think anybody makes a living playing except for Gary as a gigging musician. But we want to be the best entertainment band with the talent we have. And just the way you heard Gary talk about his vision for the band is where he's brought us, where we could never, Dean and I could never have done that. And it is just so much fun to sit playing right next to Gary, but it's just a joy, right? And you kind of just heard it, his story, and giving that legacy kind of stuff that a lot of us don't have that background. I didn't grow up with all that.
I have to confess something that I don't think I've ever said on this or any other podcast. I was probably the worst saxophonist that my high school produced in its entire history. 100 years, Mandan High in Mandan, North Dakota, they've never produced a worse saxophonist than me. And I still have like vague trauma about how terrible I was. But this is actually refreshing to think about it again, because it's like, yeah, wow. Yeah, you could try to pick it up and toot the horn a little bit. I mean, I would never attempt to do this. I'm more of a wordsmith, but yeah, I was terrible. And they threw me on the Barry sax for some reason. And I'm like,
yeah,
I'm
that's
bad
what
enough.
They did.
Oh.
If you're still carrying around some trauma from your childhood musical experiences, you'd probably make a great jazz musician.
It's great.
There you go.
Yeah,
I have a confession that I also was a terrible saxophonist for many years. I played the alto saxophone.
Yep.
And I was also horrible. But if you were playing the baritone, it's probably because you could carry it.
That was it.
It was too heavy for me.
I schlepped that thing all around the state of North Dakota, up and down that state, east and west. Oh, it was a nightmare. I hated it.
Okay, I got to admit, I had my moments of, like when you're saying your saxophone skill. There was I wasn't feeling well. I hadn't been able to play for a little bit. And I bought a brand new saxophone. And Gary looks at me in rehearsal and goes, dude, I thought that horn would come in tune. You know, and I was playing like really flat or something like that.
Yeah.
I still owe you on that one. It's just like, dude, I thought that brand new saxophone yours would play in tune.
This was one of my calmer moments as far as our onstage banter.
Oh gosh.
This for me is like sitting with three guys who just never gave up, never quit. So it's actually kind of fun. I'm getting a lot out of this too. And music is just, it's joyful. It brings people together. It can bring 19 people together regularly to bring a lot of happiness. I'm going to come out to one of these shows. It's going to happen. Yeah. Yeah. Amanda.
You absolutely have to.
I have
on
to.
That point.
Yeah.
You know, I grew up singing, but was never, a formally trained singer. I played piano for about 10 years and jazz was my favorite, I will say, rather than Bach. But I just had earlier today a musical theater audition, and I hadn't had one of those in probably 10 years. But man, does it feel good to sing again. I will say that. And it doesn't matter, you know, you don't have to play the best. You don't have the shiniest saxophone, but dang, it feels good. And you can really tell that in when listening and watching the North Star Big Band. It's excellent.
Yeah. Emily's something else, isn't she? Emily
oh my
Green,
gosh.
Our singer.
It's like listening to Silk. It's just
we gotta use that one.
listening to silk.
Sometimes I stop.
How am I not going to end up turning that into the wrong thing at some point? Well, okay.
I'll take the mic from you before you go down that street. So I'll start listening to her, and I look down, and I have no clue where I'm at, and I go, Gary, where are we? Because I've been listening to Emily.
And then that's the danger of playing with vocalists.
Yeah,
the danger of playing with vocalists is that you're going to be into what they're doing. You know, so you just got to like keep your nose down on the page. And
I'm getting the lecture right now, by the way.
I mean, she does this thing at the end of Cry Me a River. Whenever she sings Cry Me a River, she always has a cadenza that she does at the end of it. And it just gets better every season. And so the whole band, because the band stops while she's playing it. Yep. And so we just listen to her sing that run. And then then I bring us all in for when we come back in on for the end of the chart. But
most of us make it.
Whether it's Jim or Emily. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I have to ask each of you, what is your favorite song or chart and arrangement to play? Or listen to, it might be different.
Yeah. Oh boy.
It's tricky. Well, the great thing is you don't have to have one. but let me, I got to look at the set list.
Yeah. I mean, we play to entertain, and seeing that dance floor full is where that joy comes. And so I'm not sure if it's one tune. Gary's been writing some really cool new charts for us. I mean, he mentioned featuring, you know, different musicians. You know, part of it is about how to, just like in the business world, you know, attract and retain talent. And by featuring, writing charts for certain individuals in the band, you know, that's a way that we give them the credit, right? I mean, that's the way it should be. He wrote a chart, cherry pink and apple blossom. What? Apple blossom white.
Apple blossom white.
Yeah. Which can be mispronounced on stage.
Emily said the wrong, she's put the wrong word in there at our big Catholic school fundraiser by accident.
Instead of the peas were.
I think everybody got it. Everybody got it. Yeah, we all got it. We're ahead of it. Yeah.
but you know,
getting spicy at 94.1 radio.
Yeah, there you go. Right. Yeah. The Catholic high school is pretty funny. We're all just, we lost it. But that's, I mean, you know, listening to the talent we have, that's cool, and that's a great arrangement that Gary wrote for Greg Haneker.
Thanks.
You know,
I have a lot of fun playing the polkas.
Okay, this is almost embarrassing. Amanda, what did you think? We played two polkas. No polkas.
It's awesome because
we're a swing band,
a dance club. Hired us for a gig, and they gave us all these different styles that they wanted us to play. And so I had to write five new charts, or it was either five or seven new charts, and two of them were polkas. So I did an arrangement of Happy Wanderer Polka and the Too Fat Polka. I don't know if y'all know the Too Fat Polka, but
totally inappropriate. So but yep.
My wife is, her parents came over from Germany in the 1950s. And I've been to weddings up in Canada where she's originally from, when, you know, where the only band at the wedding for the wedding reception is a polka band.
That's how it should be.
So I had the sound pretty good.
You got a German
in
the house.
Right. I had the sound pretty good in my ear. And so I wrote the polkas, and I'm like, I don't remember what I said to her, but I said something like, I don't think I've ever danced a polka. How do you dance a polka? And she gets all bright and shiny, and she says, like this. And she just starts hopping all around the office in here.
Yep. That's exactly how it is.
Just bounce around. Yeah, and so we start playing them at these dances. And even though they're swing dances, people mob the floor. They literally run to the floor.
I think it's just because it's a dance that's so, It is. It's like joyful and you hop around and you kind of feel like a kid when you're dancing, like, and you don't need to necessarily get it exactly right or like do crazy, you know, movements and dips and like all of this. And I mean, you know, you can see a 95-year-old polka doing the polka, and it's just, it's incredible and it's super fun. If you've never danced the polka, please go out or at least watch some videos. It's highly entertaining. It's super fun. So I'm glad you guys do it.
Mm. You know, I agree. Really like, I'm a kind of a sucker for a novelty. And years ago, the icon of sort of lounge music, Paul Anka, did rearranged some popular, really top 40 hits or big hits and in a swing style. And we managed to, Gary sort of adapted a couple of those for us. So we generally in our rotation, we're doing a swing version of Van Halen's Jump and Oasis's Wonderwall, which they're really well done. And Jump, you would definitely recognize that that's what song we're playing. Wonderwall, it might take you a little bit, a couple minutes before you recognize that that's what we're playing, but it's there.
Yeah. And jump is of the Paul Anka arrangement. Wonderwall, we took the Paul Anka arrangement and we made a couple modifications to it. So we kind of kept the shell of it and a lot of the thematic material from it, but we also changed that a little bit. And then we do several Bublé versions, Michael Bublé versions of songs. Mm-hmm. But we did something similar with Moondance, where we took Bublé's version of Moondance and we retooled it a little bit to better fit the style of the band.
I noticed for the gig on Saturday, you guys put back in Frim Fram Sauce, which is really one of my favorites too. It's a great number.
Yeah. And that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to do, you know, swing charts across, except for the polkas, across the whole swing era, from stuff from the 20s, you know, 50s, the big band stuff, you know, In the Mood, that sort of thing. Some, a little Latin occasionally, a blues swing. Jim nails every day. I have the blues, couple ballads, you know, so we, and then these rock, the, I don't know if it's called West Coast Swing or whatever it is, that, you know, the rock swing charts, you know, so we try to, you know, capture a wide range of swing, but always trying to keep it in that swing genre and trying to keep that energy pace up. That because we're not a show band, we're a dance band. And yeah, my dream, my hope is that energy, we can never do what a DJ does, but to be able to, it with live music, have that energy from the moment that someone walks into that transformed gym, with, you know, we bring in lights, we have our, you know, we're more affordable because we have our own equipment, and as soon as they walk in, you know, music during the breaks. On this Saturday, we have a swing club, Uptown Swing, doing a demo during the break and then line dancing during the next break. So we try to make it, you know, that whole time entertainment. I mean, that's really cool that what you said, that, I mean, that's, I don't think you would have said that 4 years ago, because Gary's brought us a long way from then to what you saw a couple of weeks ago, or whenever it was. I think it was probably in February that you saw us.
Yeah. And I want to ask Gary and you, Dean and Dan as well, when you have an idea for a new arrangement or you hear a song and, you know, Wonderwall, and you're like, okay, let's do something with that, how long does it take from that idea and sort of germination of it before it fully goes out and is played at a gig, you know? How much practices depending on, you know, people know the song or?
Well, that depends on a couple different things. It depends on the deadline. I mean, just to be honest.
Opening night is opening night.
Gary, where is it? Gary, where is it? We need the chart. Rehearsals next.
A product, right? Like I arranged a lot of the horn and string section parts for River Valley Church's Christmas production. They're a big mega church here in the Southland. And then I did some string stuff for their Easter service. And so for a chart like that, because it's fewer instruments, like I may still be arranging 150 measures, or I might be arranging 5 minutes of music, but it's only for, you know, a couple trumpets, a couple trombones, a couple saxophones, and then some violins and a cello. But when I'm arranging for a big band, I'm doing 5 saxes, 4 bones, 4 trumpets, and piano, bass, guitar, piano, bass, guitar, drums, and then depending on which person is singing it. So a big band chart will usually take me about 40 hours from the time that I start it to when I'm done editing the actual paper and it goes out to the band. Now, that depends a lot on the difficulty of the chart or how long it is, right? It's all about the number of measures. Mm-hmm. Because some of the stuff I've written for North Star in like 4 hours before. It really just depends on what I'm having to do. Over the years, what the decision that I've made is to try to write really well-sounding charts, but make them so that they can get done, make them so that they can sound really good with a shorter amount of rehearsal time. And then that fits into our schedule. It allows us to do new material more quickly and more often. And it creates a lot less uncertainty on the stage. That way, if I do write something that's a little bit more difficult, we can focus on that for that night and don't have to try to fit that in with all this other stuff we're rehearsing. So usually by the time I start writing it for North Star, by the time I start writing it to when it's done, I've got it down to about 25 hours. And then we'll usually rehearse a new chart 2 or 3 times before we play it. Like we do Misty, that's one of the ballads we added to the book. We rehearsed that chart maybe 3 times before we performed it. Whereas we have a tango, Kiss of Fire. That one's in a little bit more of a challenging key for the horns. It was a little bit more of a challenging song for Emily to learn, you know, because it's not like she sings tangos every day. And so that song, because it was a break from our norm as far as style is concerned, we ended up having to work that song a little bit more because, you know, for the two of you that have played saxophone, it's in B for alto, so 5 sharps. For alto, God,
my hand, I can feel it. I can feel it. In
which
my hand.
Isn't, yeah, it's not an easy key, and that's the risk you take when you're playing with singers. is that the key that they could sing the song is going to be horrible? I mean, yeah. We in that version of Save the Last Dance for alto, seven. It ends up being in
7 sharps.
The guy wrote it in 7 sharps, and if you are an arranger, composer, or a student of such, and you're going to listen to this, ditch 7 sharps. It's 5 flats. Just write it in 5 flats. It'll be easier for everyone. That's like a
no. We're really getting into the weeds here.
I know somebody listening out there. Yeah, yeah. I know somebody listening out there who very much agrees with you and is so happy that you said that.
Yeah.
So part of the philosophy, though, what Gary's talking about is, and we expect, like we said, we're not pro players. We all love playing. We grew up playing, however that whatever our playing history was. But we expect people to desire to prove, individually and as a group and put in some work. So it's not that you have, if you make a mistake, just move on. But, put the work in. You're not we don't expect people to read it perfect the first time, second time. So Gary gives us that grace, you know, that time to learn it. And, you know, I mean, so that's part of that, the character of the band, you know, is supporting each other. But we do expect people to desire to improve their skill. So every once in a while, he throws something at us and, you know, five sharps, six sharps, whatever. Thanks, Gary, by the way.
That was for Emily. That was for Emily.
Well, for Emily, that's fine.
Yeah.
For Emily, concert, not for you.
Concert D. It's concert D. It's two sharps on piano, but on alto, it's five sharps.
I can feel the sinking feeling from me sitting in my junior high school chair as they continue to give us more complicated music. I'm flashing back. So I'm going to need an extra session this week with my therapist.
I get it.
I really shoved my saxophone like memory. I'm like, I don't want to think about that. It just was not my thing. But I think everybody should learn how to play. Everybody should learn how to play, even if you find out that you don't have the gift or you just don't want to keep doing it, because learning how to play, just even to pluck a tune on a guitar, like your music appreciation will shoot through the
absolutely
the roof. It's super important. Well, let's think about sort of, you know, what's next for the band in the bigger sense, right? So you've got your schedule for the year. What do you want to do, you know, for the next, you know, two or three years? You know, how do you want the band to grow? I saw online that people, if they want to go and listen to some of the music, and you have videos on your website. Again, I'm going to plug it. It's northstarbigband.com. Are there any other like recordings? Are there any like studio recordings people can go listen to, or are you maybe not kind of at that level?
Oh, we wish.
We've been struggling with that for the last. We've tried to get the date to get some of those done. So that's been
So
we're trying to put together a session.
Yeah. So if you go to the website, we have a YouTube channel where we have four better recordings, not great recordings, that we did live and, you know, multi-tracked it and try to get rid of some of the crowd noise and stuff like that. But, you know, to what purpose is why the recording? One purpose is to support Gary's charts. The stuff that he's putting out to help him get his name out there. So, you know, some of his original Time at the Homestead and some of his original compositions is, hey, there's a good recording of it that's worthy of any, you know, accomplished high school or, you know, college band to play. It's kind of like a Dave Wolpe arrangements. You know, they're great arrangements, not super complicated. So to record them so we can help support Gary in his livelihood. And we'll do more of that. But you know, we takes money to do that stuff, right? So,
tell me about it.
Yeah. So, anybody want to volunteer to be a videographer? That'd be great. You know, getting some content.
Well,
you know,
it takes money and it takes getting the guys together. And I use that term universally because our Barry players are almost always women. I can't think of the last time we had a guy playing Barry in our band.
Nope.
T.D. Gibbs, who has been playing in big bands around the Twin Cities for, oh man, I bet 30 years. And then Deidre's last name, I can't remember. Deidre.
Dennis Wies.
Yeah, Wies. Yes, a German. Yeah.
Yeah.
She's an opera singer, by the way, too, isn't she?
Yeah, she's an opera singer. She sings with
also our Barry player.
Yeah.
Well, Chambers once in a while.
Yeah.
So, you know, you were talking about getting that many people together, and getting people together for the recording session has actually been a little bit difficult because everybody's already got it in their routine that Tuesday night is the night that you save for North Star, right? And it's kind of like it's kind of like my dog, you know, whenever we get shredded cheese out of the fridge, if we don't put some shredded cheese in his bowl, he's going to lose his mind because that's just the routine. And it's the same way with the band, with the shredded cheese. And also that if we have anything going on that isn't on a Tuesday night, it's impossible to get everybody together, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We all have lives. You know, there's a couple, you know, all have full, most folks have full-time jobs. I ended up retiring a couple of years ago. So
you retired with all that, big band lucre.
Yeah, I mean, there you go. I mean, it's just there, right? But where we want to go, I mean, you know, it's like I mentioned our purpose, our mission, to support those who give back and the fundraising. And so we do galas and we'll do a wedding or two here or there for people we know. Weddings can be kind of a hassle, but it's what you saw, Amanda, that we play at these fundraisers or these social events, playing at after St. Mark's. The next weekend we're playing at St. Peter's out in Mendota Heights, you know, open to the public kind of events. So, you know, we're trying to get the word out. We're trying to do like 14 gigs from, you know, September through May. Most of them open to the public, a few, you know, private fundraiser events here or there. And get a following so that, you know, we can be paired, you know, like Gary said, or Dean said, you know, a lot of bands don't pay their guys and we don't pay a lot, but it's just appreciation of the time and effort to drive here or there. So we pay, everyone gets paid the same amount, except for a few of us, you know, like the director's fees and stuff like that, because we put in a little more work. But we try to pay everybody, and that takes some money, right? I mean, and then all of a sudden you add a sound system and lights on top of it. No one could ever afford a 19-piece band. I mean, to rent a sound equipment, a pro sound company, it's like, we wouldn't be playing anywhere, right? So... But we're starting to get enough following that we can get, 150, you know, hopefully 200 at one of our events. And then, the organization, you know, we're not quite there. St. Mark's is close. And then they don't lose money. They can pay us fairly, you know, pay us. And it's a win all around. So that's our goal, is to get a strong following. And have these reoccurring events around the Twin Cities instead of having tied to a venue like the Caves or there's another one on First Saturdays. Instead of being tied to a physical place, that we want to create, what I'm calling the Swing Night Saturdays that are sponsored by various organizations around the Twin Cities. So we're a traveling venue kind of sort of thing.
Yeah, because we like to play for people and see them having fun dancing.
Yeah, I think that's what, after one gig, Dan asked me, I think we were having, played at a VFW, we're out having cigars and beers after the gig, and sitting out in the gazebo outside, and Dan said, incidentally, that was one where the biggest hit of the night was Van Halen's Jump when we played that VFW. They were all over that. When we were out there, he said, well, what do you want to do with this? I said, Dan, I just want to play for a room full of people having a good time. So, and trying to get it down, just distilled as tight as I can into one sentence. And that's really what it comes down to. We can branch off from that, but we're not trying to pay off a mortgage doing this or anything like that. But, you know, we want to have fun.
That does lead into, I think, which might be like the final question as we're coming up on the hour here. Might have time for one or two more, but the swing craze that happened, there was the movie Swingers, and that kind of helped kick it off. But I'm sure there was more going on. I'm a Philistine, so I, in this world, so I don't know. Like, did that? Because I know it got out of control. Like, swing parties were everywhere. I'd go to London. They would be swing dancing. I'd come back here. Oh, what are you doing? I'm swing dancing. It was like everybody was swing dancing. Has that kind of abated somewhat? I mean, I know COVID hurt everything. So that's question number one, is like, where is the swing scene at now? And what's your relationship with the dancers? Like, I mean, do they must follow you around? I mean, what's that like? Yeah.
Well, I mean, I definitely fangirled for sure.
Yeah. All right. Yes.
Yeah.
So, swing dancing is just like any other niche genre of dance. You know, there are going to be people that, like with salsa, there are going to be people that are like, ooh, salsa, and they get out there and shake it, and then they go home. And then there are, and then there are people that are going to salsa class every week, like our roommate who was living with us for a while. he went to salsa, I think it was like every Monday night.
Yeah.
For months and months, right? He got really into it and would go to different places where there were salsa dances around town. And it's the same way with the swing clubs, is what I've noticed. Because, you know, it's a physically demanding style of dance. You know, there's like the basic move that the instructor, the dance instructor, we usually have one, or the organization we're playing for hires one. And so there's the basic move that people do. And then at the last St. Mark's gig, we're all playing, and I look out of the corner of my left eye, and Stephanie and I's friend, Chris and Diana, are doing the arrow. And Chris has Diana by the arms and is holding her vertical on the dance floor. And it caught the attention of every single person in the band, and we all flubbed our next note. But you know, like, you're not going to, like, just, you know, go and learn that move. You know, you that there are moves in swing that you have to work up to. And so what we see when the swing clubs come out to our dances is that it's usually a very committed group of people that have gotten deep into it. And then the rest of the folks that are there, they're there to have fun, because there's an amount of nostalgia listening to it and being out on the dance floor dancing to it. But it's not like it was in the 90s. You know, in the 90s, when I was in my 20s, I definitely remember the whole swing thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, 'cause that was just part of that era. It's not that diffuse into culture right now, but the people that are into it are really into it.
They're into it. The swing clubs, keep high it alive.
Yeah,
in high schools, and you know, a lot of them colleges have swing clubs. You know, so we're trying to tie into them and provide that source of entertainment, variety of places to dance.
Swinging. Well, swinging. We've come up to time. This was a lot of fun, and this flew by. Thank you, gentlemen. Really appreciate it. Pitch your website and your upcoming shows like right now, and we'll close it down.
Great. It's northstarbigband.com. Also YouTube, North Star Big Band, Facebook, North Star Big Band, and love to have you come out and listen. And Amanda, let me know when I get you a couple free comp tickets anytime.
Oh my gosh, that's too gracious of you. Thank you.
And Kevin, yeah, maybe you, Kevin too, maybe, you know.
I'll drag my Barry Sachs out.
Yeah,
bring it out of the closet.
Don't forget Mary. Yeah. Mary's sitting over there being so nice.
She's in New York. She's in New York.
I'm too far away. I would love to come back, but only if we can see Kevin and Amanda arrow.
Thanks so much for doing this.
Yeah, we had a lot of fun. Dan, Dean, Gary, North Star Big Band, you're listening to Mouthing Off from Bad Mouth Theater Company, badmouthtc.com, 94.1 FM Frogtown Radio, Minnesota Playlist, and on our website. Okay, I guess, what did you say here in the background, Dean? Step, step, rock, step. That's the move?
That's the step you take, yeah. I got to put a plug in, too. Hey, I got 1 foot in Frogtown. I'm there almost every day. My kids go to St. Agnes, so I'm in and out, up and down the Pierce Butler route, and up and down Uni and Dale all the time. So
there you go. All right, Frogtown Radio. Take care, everybody. Bye.
Bye.